Okay, we're up to Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Aleph. Hoy Shodei V'ato Loi Shodud. A poetic expression referring to Sancheriv. Sancheriv, Yeshaya says, "Woe to you! You are the robber. Shodei, you have robbed, you have stolen property from other people, but you never experienced the unpleasantness of being the victim of theft." Gzuntait, you are shodeid, you are the robber, but the atolo shodud, you don't know what it feels like to be the victim, to be the victim of theft. Uvegeid, you are a rebel. You are the one who has rebelled against all of your masters, against all of the other leaders of the world. Veloy vogdubach, you did not experience the feeling, the taste of being the victim of rebellion. However, this will not last forever. The day will come when you, Ashur, the Malchus of Ashur, King Sancheriv, will get what you deserve. Kahasimcha, when your deeds come to an end. This is an unusual word. Kahasimcha, the Mitzudah said, Lashon of Tam, the Hashlama. Tam, the shorish of this word is Tam, Tov Mem, when it all comes to an end. Eventually, your mazel, your good fortune, or your power to rebel and rob from others will come to an end. Then, kasimcha shodeid, when you finish carrying out all of your plans of theft, of robbery, extortion, then tushad you, the things will turn, you will be the victim of theft. Kanelosicha livgo. That's the same idea. That parallel was kanelosicha, parallels the word kahasimcha. And it also is a very unusual word. Lashon of the Mitzvah is the Lashon of tachlis v'hashlama. Same idea. Tachlis, the lamin and the saf are the main letters of this word, the sharish. When the end comes for you, kanelosicha livgo. When you finish rebelling against others, yiv giduvach. Others will rebel against you. Pasuk Beis Hashem Cha Neinu, have show us grace, be gracious to us. Chazal tells us Chain comes from Chinam, free or undeserved. A matnas Chinam, where a person receives a gift for where a person is requesting a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is undeserved. And that's really what the nature of tefillah is all about. Hashem, Choneinu, show us grace, have compassion upon us. Why? Because L'cha Kivinu, because we yearn, we have put our hope and our faith in you, and therefore that's why we ask you, Hashem, to show us grace. Heye Ziro'am Labukarim. These are two interesting words. Labukarim literally means the mourning, the boker. And in this expression, it means people that yearn, who yearn for you daily, early in the morning, every single day, daily, morning after morning, not just late in the morning, but early in the morning. They wake up and they come, they daven, they yearn to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. May you, Hashem, be for these people who come to you Baboker, Baboker, Ziroam, may you be their source of strength. Ziroam means Lashon of the Ziroah, the arm, and in this context it means the power that the human being is in his arm, is in his hands and arms. So may you, Hashem, be a source of strength for the people that yearn for you on a daily basis. Af Yeshua sin, because you were our salvation, the Esara, because we have a history, we have experience, because when we were in times of Tzara, you always came forth, you always were a source of salvation for us. Pasuk Gimel, Mikol Hamon, yeah?
The word Bikarim, can you make sense out of the Pasuk of translating Livaker to visit?
Livaker, it could... Could be. It could very well be. I'm not very well knowledgeable in the Hebrew language, but it could very well be. Absolutely. There are numerous interpretations. I'm just presenting what I've seen on the page, what I've seen from the symbol of the Farshim. Here the Mitzvah translates Lashon Boker. For Ratzlomar, Bechol Yom. And this fresh expression appears, it does reappear often in, I don't know, often, but it's not the first time we had this expression in Yeshaya. Labukarim to mean the morning. And what does it mean, the morning? It means people that are eager, the mizores, they're eager to come close to Kodesh Baruch Hu on a daily basis. Like we say in the Ketores, that every single day, early in the morning, one of the first things you're supposed to do today's daf is you're supposed to light, you're supposed to prepare the Ketores. So in that, but you're right, it's not the only interpretation. Levaker, you want to interpret this to mean those that seek out. Be a zeram, a source of strength, la bekarm, for those that seek out Hashem. Absolutely. Definitely. Af Yeshua Seinabe, so you have been always for us salvation at times of difficulty. Pasuk Gimel, Mikol Hamon, due to the sound of the Hamon, Nodu Amen. This refers to, these Pesukim Pasuk Beis, Shu Pasuk Gimel, we are describing, or further we're describing, as we've done so many times, the fall of Sanheriv, the great miracle where Hashem will kill all of the soldiers. So here being mispavad Hashem at this very difficult moment in time when the city of Yerushalayim is surrounded by the enemy, Hashem may He show us, have compassion upon us and spare us because we've always yearned for you. And here we describe the actual defeat and fall of the enemy, Mikol Hamon, due to the sound of the multitude. Now what over here is the Hamon? It is the Hamon, the confusion. And we're referring specifically to the confusion of the Malach. The Malach, that's how the Mitzvah learns it according to some interpretation. Look at the Mitzvah's Pasuk Gimel, Ratzlam, V'chein Hoyolonu Liyeshu, you were for us salvation, Ki Mikol Hamoyas HaMalach. The loud noise that the Malach made when they attacked and killed the soldiers. That's the simple interpretation. We think Malachim are quiet, not necessarily. Malachim can make a lot of noise, and due to this noise, Nodudu Amim, nations moved, they fled. The Chazal tell us that even though 185,000 soldiers died, there were many more, and there were many soldiers that survived, that fled. Were not in the vicinity. The people that were actually surrounding Yerushalayim, Chazal tell us, we had the pasuk only kemispar. There's a disagreement among the midrashim, Chazal, how many survivors? Was it 2? Was it 6? Was it 10? It's a small number, but there were people that were on the way or at a greater distance, and when they saw that the people that were actually surrounding the city were all killed, they fled. And that's what it means, nadadu. They fled. They were moved, amim, nations. The reason why we refer to the soldiers as nations, we mentioned many times, was because in the ancient times, Sanheriv, he wasn't just his local army from his country. When he became a world power, all of the kings of the world would send their best soldiers, their children, and their best troops to join, to participate in the battles of the world leader. It was an honor if the king of this world, of the world power of this world, would accept from different nations their soldiers, battalions. Each nation had a unique set of skills that no one else had, and they would be used to participate in the war of the major king. And here, that's why it says Amim, Sanheriv, Ashur, they took the lead, but many other nations joined Ashur. And now when the soldiers were all killed, all of the Amim that joined Sanheriv, they fled from the loud noise that the Malach made when he killed the enemy. Mei Romim Musecha, due to your exaltedness, Nafitsugoyim, this is a repetition from the beginning of the pasuk, paralleling the pasuk, from your exaltedness, which basically means from the Kol Hamon, Nafitsu means to be dispersed. It's the same, and the word Nafitsu is parallels word Nadadu. Nadadu means to wander. Nafitsu means to be dispersed, to scatter, to be shattered. Goyim nations. Goyim obviously corresponds to Amim, and the word Meiro Memusecha corresponds to the two words Mikol Hamon. From the loud noise, here refers to the exaltedness, another idea. According to the Medrash, we had this many times, Meiro Memusecha refers to the Shira of the Malachim. The soldiers died when Hashem opened up their ears to hear the song of the Malachim singing Kadosh, 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 or Baruch Kvod Hashem Emekomo. When they heard those words, it was a spiritual experience that their souls cannot bear, being due to the fact that they were Temeim, They were people that were defiled, and that's how their neshamas departed. So here it means meiro mimusecha, from hearing the malachim praise the exaltedness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the nations were dispersed, they were terrorized, they fled, and they died. Pasuk Dalet, v'usaf shilalcha. Now we are describing the spoils. There was a terrible siege, and the people of Yerushalayim were starving. They were poor. For years, they had nothing to eat. Finally, when the soldiers died, they went out, they left the city, and there was an enormous amount of wealth that was just there for the taking. So it says, "Usaf shilalchem, your spoils, the spoils of the soldiers of Sanhedrin will be collected, gather in, just like Osef Hechosil, like the gathering of the locusts." Now there are two interpretations. Let's do one at a time. One interpretation is that when locusts attack, when locusts come upon a field of grain, there's nothing holding them back. They're at leisure. Locusts are not creatures that have any worries that someone's going to come and attack and destroy them. They come upon the grain, there's what to eat. So the locusts, they enjoy themselves. They just take, and no one prevents them from enjoying the grain that they come in contact with. That's going to be the same thing for the Jewish people. When they, after the enemy has died, all of the soldiers are dead, the Jewish people will leave Yerushalayim, and they will pick the gold and silver and food and possessions that they find upon the soldiers, the dead soldiers, without any worry. Just like the locust takes, eats, consumes, so too Bnei Yisrael will consume and collect the spoils from the army of Sanherib. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is the other way around. That if you have a farmer, and the farmer sees there's an attack of locusts, and he goes out to the field and he sees there are 1,000 locusts on his farm, what does he do? He takes out a tool. I'm not exactly sure what tools they use to collect locusts, and they just gather them all up. They use their hands, or they use some type of tool. They gather them all up, and they throw them in the garbage, or they dispose of the locusts. When the locusts are not creatures that have the power to fight back against a human being that collects them, because they're in their way, they're going to cause damage. Same exact idea, that when Bnei Yisrael will leave Yerushalayim after the death of the soldiers, they will take the spoils without any impediment. No one will hold them back. That's how the Mitzudos learns this pasuk. Let's see the Mitzudos, the first part of the Mitzudos inside. Pasuk Dalet, the Oisef Hashalalchem, Hashalol, the spoils of war, Shetikhu Me'es Machane Ashur, that you will collect from the enemy Machane Ashur, Yiyemu Usof, it will be collected Be'ein Moche, no one will protest. Umibli pachat. There will be no fear. It's not like someone's watching over your shoulder that don't take this, because all the money has to go to the government, all the money has to go back where it came from. No, take it, it's hefka. Kiderecho aseifa shem asfim eshechasil, just like people collect. Kiderecho aseifa shem asfim eshechasil, that farmers would collect locusts. Kishenochim al ho'adama, when the locusts come, the wind blows them upon the earth. Sheyotzim b'nei ho'ir, the people, the farmers, people live in the city, they go out into the fields. Ume asvim oisam b'chileihem, they collect the locusts with their utensils. Lebal yashchisu tvuas ha'adama, so that the locusts do not cause harm, they do not consume the grain. The locusts are not a match for human beings. When the human beings collect the locusts are not capable of fighting back, and against the people. So too, the Jewish people will collect the spoils of the souls of Ashur without anyone telling them not to do so. Then the pasuk concludes, "Kimashak evim shekeg bo." Kimashak means the roar. Kimashak means a loud sound. Kimashak means a loud sound. Gevim means a pit of water. Shekeg bo will roar bo against the enemy of Ashur. Now this means that when there's a flood, when there's rain and water fills up a pit, it makes a certain type of sound. the stream, a torrent coming down a mountain, and there is a pit. The pit here is the Gevim, and the water gushes into the pit and fills it to capacity. There's a certain sound. It's a roar. It's a loud sound. That's what the pasuk here is comparing the death of the soldiers, just like there you hear this roar. We will have a similar roar when the enemy soldiers of Ashur will die in through the Malach of Hashem. When the Malach of Hashem will shout and take their lives, it will produce a similar sound. Kimashak Evim, like the shout, the noise, the roar that is produced when water fills up the pits, Shoikeg Bo, that will be the roar that Hashem will sound against Ashur when he attacks. Now there's a beautiful Medrash. The Medrash says, this is a very interesting economic principle. Talk about how to divide up the wealth of a country. Let me read you the Medrash. You don't have the Medrash, but let me read for you just a few words of the Medrash. Amar lohem Navi Yisrael. Isfu Shalal. Sancheriv's soldiers were killed. There were at least 185,000 generals lying out in the outside Yerushalayim. Each one was adorned with gold and silver. There were animals, there was food, there was everything you possibly can want. So Yeshaya told the people, listen, now's the time. Go outside and take the spoils and make yourselves rich. You have now, Hashem has given you a bracha. Amrulo, so the Jewish people asked the Navi Yeshaya, how should we go about collecting the spoils? Should we collect everything into one, to the state, to Yerushalayim, and then everyone will register, the census, and will divide the spoils equally among every single member of Yerushalayim? Or should it be each man to his own, each person on his own? Everyone should go outside. The people who are strong and powerful, who are mighty, they'll collect, take a lot. And the people that are weak and slow, they'll only be able to collect a small amount. Everyone, or some people want to take clothing, some people like gold and silver, some people like food. Everyone will go and take whatever they want. How should we go about collecting the spoils of war? Obviously, each one has an advantage. Everyone's going to go and take everything to be collected. People are not going to be so eager, because I'm only going to get a cut. So why should I work so hard? Someone will eventually do the dirty work and do all the collecting. There's not going to be any incentive for me to work harder than my friend. On the other hand, whatever I get, I get to keep for myself. I'll be here the whole day, the whole night, until I collapse, because whatever I get to keep. But on the other hand, it's not necessarily fair. It's a little bit selfish. Okay, so obviously there's a balance. You know, a private institution versus a public institution. You know, there are different types of institutions.
Socialism versus capitalism.
Yeah, and economy, you can express this in many, many different ways. Absolutely. So this was the fascinating concept. That's really what they're trying to do. Is Yerushalayim going to be a socialist state, or is it going to be a capitalistic state? What are they going to do? This is the question they're asking Yeshaya. Fascinating. Amrulo, Livzois, should everyone take for themselves? Oh, lachaloik, the Midrash says. The Eschai, should we divide everything equally? Redistribution of wealth. So Yeshaya said, Amar Lohem, Oisef Hechosil. That's this pasuk here. Locusts. Are locusts, interesting, locusts, are they follow a capitalistic society, or they are a socialist society? The locusts. They're not socialists. Each to his own, each on his own. Everyone take for yourself. Oisef hechosil. Mo oisef hechosil. What does it mean, oisef hechosil? Kol echad v'yechad li'atzme, everyone to himself. So to av shlalchem, so to come spoils av kol echad v'yechad li'atzmo. Yeshaya told them, everyone take for yourself. Do not divide the spoils. Fascinating. And that's what it means here. Oisef v'usaf shalalchem. How? Ki oisef hechosil, like locusts. Locusts don't think about the community. Each one is on his own. That's how I want you to collect the spoils of war. Fascinating. Next question they asked him. They said over here, Asher, where did Asher acquire this enormous wealth? Go outside. Each soldier's worth $1 billion. Where did he accumulate the wealth? From our brothers. From the Malchus of Yehuda. Because we know that first the Malchus of Yehuda conquered, first Asher conquered the Malchus of Yehuda, and then went later to conquer the Malchus of Yisrael, and then went to conquer the Malchus of Yehuda of Yerushalayim. Okay, there was a detour in the middle. They went to Cush and to Mitzrayim in the meantime, in the middle, but the wealth doesn't, it's stolen goods. So Yeshaya said, it's true, it's stolen goods, but once Ashur has conquered, it becomes Hefker. There's no more Ba'olam. The shame Ba'olam has been lost from the original owners. And al pi halacha, it's not gezel for you to take from the soldiers, even though they really only acquired their wealth from stolen goods from our brothers, the Jews in the Aseres HaShvatim in Yehuda. Just, that's the next part of the pasuk. Just like there's a torrent of water, and it floods, it goes into a pit. The water in the pit is hefker. So too the wealth that Asher has accumulated, even though it came from our brethren, they were miyayesh, shini rishus, it's hefker, and there's no prohibition for you to take this wealth. Let me read you the words. It's a chiddush. Obviously, it's a very interesting chiddush, but that's what it says. I'm reading you here what it says in the Medrash. Let me let look what it says over here. So the let me just find the place. I'm sorry. Armulov, v'halemamon, the money which shmei aseres hashvatim me'oriv bo, the money that we're going to find from the aseres from the Ashur, it came from our brothers, the aseres hashvatim. V'nimsa shme'oriv bo mamon Yisrael ve'ech nitol mamon zem. Amalam Yeshaya ve'him shul mamon zek ki mashak gevim shekik bo, just like the roar, the loud noise that is produced by a torrent of water filling up a pit, ma gave him, just like gave him, which means these pools of water, halalu ma'alines adamitumas latar. So the mashal over here is, the Medrash says, some mikvah. A gave is a pit. It's a pit of water that's been collected naturally, not through utensils, which is a mikvah. And a mikvah is mitaher tmeim. Ma gave him halalum alamis adamituma litahara af memoinam shel Yisrael. I'm reading you the Medrash. You don't have this. The money of Yisrael kevan shenaf al biad goyim. Once the money has been stolen by the goyim, miyot tiher, the money has become pure. It's no longer gezel for you to take it from the goyim. It has become hituchutar isura v'Yisrael acher yochel lehanos mimenu b'nei shebameh shenaf al lidei goyim. Paka ba'alus ha'Yisrael, this that's fallen into the hands of the goyim, the ownership of the original Jew has been detached, has been removed. U'lechein motu l'shtamesh b'man shalolu ha'ashur, and therefore it's motu to take possession of this money. It's a very interesting chiddush. How far you take this halach in our time, I do not know.
I do not know.
Obviously, it's very complex. Talk about the Germans. They stole all of
the art
and possession, even property. I know my own family. My great grandfather, the Reish Sharav, I know he had property. He had certain property. Today it's a museum. They made his home into a museum in Poland and Reisha. It belongs to my family. So I mean, I know my what?
Try claiming
exactly. So this was his home. So I come over here. So what's going on over here? It's a museum. What are you doing over here? It belongs to the family. I know that my uncle, someone in my family tried to do something, to make a lawsuit. I mean, there are a lot of relatives, all the descendants. I don't think they got anywhere. It's not. I know.
With Poland, in other words, like there's Germany, Austria, Poland. There is no agreement with the Polish government. Poland has not given a penny in reparations.
Really?
Because they were victims.
Okay, so. Obviously, how do you apply this to halacha? I don't know. It's obviously it's complex. But at least you do over here have this principle here that we compare the wealth of the enemy of Ashur, which has all come from the Jewish people, to a mikvah. And a mikvah is matad tneim. The money has now been purified. It no longer has the status of gezel. And now when Jews take from the enemy, it's mudr. And the first part is even more fascinating point is, what kind of how did Yeshaya instructed them how to collect the spoils. Each person should go out on his own, and it's not going to be distributed equally among. We're not going to redistribute the wealth. Fascinating concept. We have it here from Yeshaya.
The end of the pasuk is like a river, a torrent.
The simple interpretation, yeah, yeah.
When somebody sees this thing going away in a river, is
Miyayish immediately.
So you can apply that same,
same idea. You're expanding it. Very good. Right. The Medrash literally says that it refers to it's a mikvah, but you're saying even further and take the same idea. It's a torrent. The loud noise refers to the torrent of water coming down, and that already is a person is miyayish. I have no claim to it. So they have two very powerful yisodos that come here from this pasuk dalt. Okay, pasuk hey, niskav Hashem. Hashem is exalted. Ki yishchein marom, because he dwells on high. At this point in time, when the miracle occurred, Hashem's name was exalted. We've said so many times this miracle was equivalent to the miracle. To the miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of Kriyas Yamsov, where the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, and just at that moment in time, the entire world, when they heard about Kriyas Yamsov, Yitzias Mitzrayim, they melted. They were terrified that they're next. Same thing happened when HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed this miracle for the survivors of Yerushalayim. Hashem is exalted, Ki Shachein Marom, he dwells on high, Milet Sion, and at this point in time there was a massive tshuva moment for the next movement for the next 15 years, and Sion was filled with Mishpat Utztaka. Now there's an interesting Medrash. The Medrash says that Yerushalayim has, guess how many names? 70 names. You would think it has 7 names, it has 10 names, 70 names for Yerushalayim, and this pasuk is one of the names. They don't have provided here a full list, but one of the names is Marom. It's exalted. That's the name of Yerushalayim, Marom. On your birth certificate, you have a choice of putting down. If you're born in Yerushalayim, you have a choice of 70 names to put down on the birth certificate. One of the 70 names for Yerushalayim, Marom. In this pasuk, Nizkav Hashem, Hashem is exalted. Ki Sheichein, Hashem dwells in the city called Marom. The exalted city. Then Milei Tzion, Tzion Sulut Mishpat Utztak. A pasuk vada. This is a very famous pasuk. Bahaya, and at this point in time, Emunas Itecha, the faith of your times. Let's just read the words. Then we'll see the. We'll read here at least 3 interpretations. The Shul Mikra. Bahaya Emunas Itecha, the faith of Emun means of course faith. Itecha means your times. Chaysen means strength, power. Yeshua's salvation. Chochmas. Wisdom, vodas, understanding. It's not exactly clear the difference between chokhmah and das. If they ever say in the davening chaninim itcha chokhmah deyabin of haskel, and nusach svarit says chokhmah, there are different interpretations what it means, but 2 different forms of wisdom. But and then it includes yiras Hashem hi otsaro, is your storage facility. It's your storehouse. How do we translate the pasuk in its simplest form? So let's see Rashi. Okay, Rashi provides us with 2 interpretations. Rashi begins by reading the pasuk backwards. It's a very good technique when you learn these type of psukim. If it doesn't go easy, always play with the words and read the pasuk in a different. It's not English. English doesn't read forward. You know you're in trouble. See, right away, get an F. In psukim in Tanakh, it's not the way it goes. They're not necessarily meant to be translated sequentially. They're meant to be translated. You take the whole pasuk and you play with the words in different orders. It's exactly what Rashi is doing. It's a great example to illustrate because it's a famous pasuk. V'hoyo l'choysen, it will be l'chosen. So Rashi right away is skipping the word emunas itecha. It will be for strength. Yeshuos of salvations. U'l'chochma and for wisdom v'das. Eis asher tamin liborecha. This that you have faith in your Creator, itim shekova luchol litrumos lemaisros beis hafroshoson leleket shicha upeya beitam lekayim shmitim v'yovlos beitam. Now that's a mouthful. But let me explain what it means, and we'll read again inside. That you will have, you will merit strength, salvation, chokhma, and das. If you will have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do what you're supposed to do in the proper time. What proper time? Time of the year. What time of the year? The harvest season. Harvest season, you're supposed to provide. Harvest season, you're supposed to provide. To give truma. Truma is a form of is almost a form of tzedakah, the gift to the kohanim, ma'isa to the Levi. It goes to get leket shikha peya. Why should I give up of my hard earned parnasa to the poor, to these people?
It's not yours.
But David, where I work for it. I'm the one that sweated to plow the land. I'm the one who worked hard. I should give from my hard earned produce to the Kohen, to the Levi, to the Ani, Leket Shechem Peya. The answer is yes. Hashem said, have faith in me. And Muna, have faith in me. If you have faith in me, you will do what I tell you to do, even though you have worked hard. You shall give this as a gift to the poor, to the people, to the Kohanim. And if you will have emuna, if you will have faith in me and do what you're supposed to do in the proper time, then I will bless you with chosen, power. You'll be healthy and strong, powerful people in this world. You'll have salvation, you'll have chochmah, you'll have das. So what Rashi is doing in the first invitation is putting a very very strong break between the word emunas itecha, period, and the rest of the pasuk of chosen Yeshua's chochmah v'das. Emunas itecha is the instruction, and the word chosen Yeshua's chochmah v'das is the reward. It's the reward if you will follow my instructions. The Hoyam telling you what to do, have emunas itecha, period. New paragraph, and if you do so, you will merit Chosin Yeshua's Chochmas Vodas. And of course, Yiras Hashem He Oitzer. That's Rashi's first. Let's read those words into Rashi one more time to show you that I'm not making this up. V'hoya l'choisen, it will be. Rashi right away jumps to the reward. It will be l'choisen, for strength, Yeshua's salvation, l'chochmas Vodas, es asher tamen, for in reward, es asher is for in reward for this that you have faith. Liboyrecha, in your Creator. What faith in your Creator? The faith is itim shekava l'cholutumos ulamaisros. In the times that I have established for you to separate truma and maaser, be'es hafrashasan. During those times, I've instructed you to separate l'leket shechupeya be'itam. In those periods of time, it's not easy reading this Rashi. I don't really. It appears to be a little bit choppy. L'kayim, to fulfill shmitim v'yovlos bitam, then you're going to have that reward that I told you about. You're going to have the chosin Yeshua's chochma v'das. Okay, that's one interpretation. The second interpretation, davar acher, emunas itecha es shemanta b'yakadosh baruch hu b'itim she'avru olecha v'tzipiso l'Yeshua tiye. Rashi is playing around here even more. This, according to the second interpretation is this, that you had faith in me in the past. Itecha doesn't mean the times of the year, does not mean the times of the year where you give Chuman Meiser. It means the difficult times of life when the enemy was about to attack and destroy you, and you had faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know there was a very big nesayin between Yeshaya, Chizkiyahu, and Shevna. There was a rebellion. Shevna was trying to tell the people to surrender to Sancheriv. If you will have faith in me, the emuna, in reward for the faith that you expressed in me in the difficult times of life, nothing to do with giving Trumas and Maitras, you will merit the chosen, the strength of salvation, chochma v'das. So that it's similar to Rashi's first interpretation, but it's a little bit. It says the v'tzipisa liyeshua. It appears v'hoya munas itecha es shamanta be'kadosh baruch hu be'itim she'avru olecha v'tzipisa liyeshua. That will be l'chol chosen. That will be your reward of salvation, chochma v'das. Okay, that's no, look at the mitzudos. Is a third interpretation. Pasuk vav in the mitzudos. Vayimun sitecha kiyum zemancha v'cholzek yishuascha yihyeh al yidei chochma v'das v'yiras Hashem. All the way around, complete reverse Rashi's interpretation. If you will strengthen yourself Let's start. The instruction is the end of the pasuk. If you will apply yourself to chokhma, das, and yiras Hashem, so putting the break before the word chokhma v'das, if you will apply yourself to Torah, which is chokhma, das, and yiras Hashem, then I will reward you with good times. Let's see inside the pasuk of the mitzvot again. Kiyum, the existence of zimancha, of your time, the chayzek yeshuaskan, the strength of your salvation. So emuna, according to the mitzvot, means the kiyum, normally means faith. Here it means your existence. You will flourish, you will survive, you will be well, and you will have salvation. Then the strength of your time, the kiyum of your times, and the strength of salvation will come as a reward for chokhma, das, and yiras Hashem. Yihyeh al yidei chokhma v'das v'yiras Hashem shiyotzar shel adam rotzo lomar hi lo l'miftach k'oitzer be'eis hatzorech u'cho'oymer hinei bo lechem ha'yeshua. The salvation will come, v'atem b'shalom, and you will be in peace. If you want that this strength and this salvation shall be for a kiyum, for all of your itecha, all of your times, it will only be through his asku b'chochma b'das v'yiru es Hashem. Study Torah, fear Hashem, and that will give you reward of powerful salvations, and it will be for you for all of your days. It will be the kiyum of your times. Okay, so to summarize, we'll stop here. There's more I want to talk about. We'll do that for tomorrow. We're out of time. Obviously, the very famous Chazal that this refers to, the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. We'll get that a little bit later. Tomorrow, but just review it. The basic, the Pshuta Shal Mikra. Where do we put the break in the pasuk? There are two different expressions. And which part of the pasuk is the instruction, and which part is the reward? According to Rashi, Rashi puts the break seemingly after the word v'hoya emunas itecha. Period. This is the instruction. If you will have emuna in your time, and it can mean one of two things: either have emuna in me, that in the time refers to the time of the year when you are instructed to give truma meiser leket shechem peya. If you follow those instructions, v'hoya, you follow those instructions. In your times, you have faith in me, then I will reward you with chaysin Yeshua's chachma v'das yiras Hashem hi otzah. I'll reward you with these things. You'll be wise, chachma v'das, you'll have salvation, you'll have strength, and of course, all within the framework of yiras Shemayim. Rashi's second interpretation, v'yom unisitach, has nothing to do with giving tzedakah. It has to be that if you will have faith in me in the difficult times of life. There are times of life we are lichtik, and there are times of life that are dark. If in the dark times you have emuna in itecha, then in reward for that, there will come a point in time where you will have the reward of chosin Yeshua's chochma v'das, all the framework of Yiras Shamayim. The mitzvah is just the opposite. The instruction is chochma v'das and Yiras Hashem. That's the instruction. And if you will follow my instructions, then the reward will be emunas itecha chosin Yeshua's. Emunas itecha, according to the Jews, does not mean faith, it means kiyum. It will be the kiyum of your times. Your life, your existence will be times of chosen and Yeshua, strength and salvation. Only, of course, if you follow my instruction and study Torah, which is referred to as chokhmah v'das and yiras Hashem. Okay, we'll pick up on this more tomorrow. There's a lot more to say about this pasuk.